all love. You just gotta follow your bliss.
Addie U 98.5.
Yeah, you tuned in to Addie U. This is Addie U Breakfast. Coming into the last section of our show, special shouts out to Scotty from Scotty Sci-Fi helping us out with the vinyl's final selection. And today we are going to do a wee interview with the one and the only Mechanism, aka Denver McCarthy, also known for his award-winning album Micronism, under the title Micronism. I've got an interview with him that I did yesterday. I'm going to play a section of that for you, but we might start off by playing some vinyl. I've got a couple of tracks from him. He also released on a label called Primal under Ruffage. And so I'm going to play a couple of these for you so that you can get a bit of a vibe for his style, his sound, and truly how magnificent he is as an electronic producer. So let's check the first one out. This is Denver McCarthy, aka Mechanism. And then we'll follow up with a little section of me having a chat to him about all things music.
Thank you.
Elder, welcome. We are here in the room with Denver McCarthy, aka Mechanism, aka Micronism. And it's wonderful to have you here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
At what sort of age did it sort of start to grab, and in what way did you sort of start to get involved in music? More specifically, I guess, electronic, but I'm also, I think everyone would be interested in if there was some precursor to electronica for you.
Yeah, it's, I guess I started with just listening to music. I remember very early on, maybe 7 or 8, having my own little transistor radio and then listening to it after everyone had gone to bed and just under the sheets and just listening intently to the music, to the lyrics, and trying to find meaning, you know, in the lyrics. And just music as like a shelter. I don't know if you had that experience, but it's just... But then to actually learn a musical instrument, I started with the guitar. But yeah, no, music has always been like, shelter is a good word. It's like...
I like it, yeah.
I mean, it's such a, especially as a young person, music is such a defining thing. It gives so much meaning and, at least, you know, solace.
I think young people are influenced predominantly, I think, in their early years, by music over all other arts. That seems to have the greatest impact on their lives as they're growing up.
Yeah, well, it touches the heart. It's an expression. It helps us to express our inner emotions, right?
Mm. And that connects with young people. You know, young people, they're going through this very emotional period in their life, and so, you know, music really speaks to how they feel on a variety of different levels. And so when did... you know, you practice instruments, you're starting to get into your late teens, and I think, I'm not sure exactly how old you were when we started to do some stuff, but when did you get your hands on your first electronic instrument?
So I guess it would have been after I left school, because in school I was still playing in bands with the guitar, like guitar bands. Mm. I guess it would have been shortly after I left school, maybe 17, 18, something like that.
Yep.
And someone had introduced me to techno, because they took me, his name's Oliver, he took me to a rave. It was technically a rave. It was at a nightclub. And I was just amazed by the whole vibe and just the general kind of positivity of the whole experience. So yeah, at that point it was just like, okay, this is very interesting, and I wanted to get into that. And I was working at a music shop at the time, so you know, they had all of these kinds of electronic instruments there, so I got to dabble with them, and then I eventually traded all my guitar stuff in for electronic instruments, synths and stuff, and a lot of those things I wish I hadn't sold, because now they're worth a fortune.
What early instruments do you recall?
Oh, dude, I bought this 808 for, that was a little bit faulty, for a couple hundred dollars, and then an old friend of mine bought one for like $5,000. It was like,
whoa,
oh my God, that's crazy, crazy prices.
So you did some single releases with IST, which is a sub label of Industrial Strength Records. Let's go to there first, and how did you kind of get introduced to Lenny D?
So someone organized a tour for Lenny D. I'm not sure if he went, I don't know if he just came to Auckland, or maybe he'd Wellington as well, but anyway, he came to Auckland. He played at a place called The Box, which is generally not that kind of music at all. It's, it's kind of like house vibes there. But anyway, they had a night there with Lenny D, and someone encouraged me to play some of my music to him. I can't remember who it was. So I took my DAT player there and played it through the sound system while he was there. And he immediately just started talking about, okay, well, let's get this music out. Mm. I was like, wow, great. Okay.
Yeah.
And so after that, I guess that gave me some confidence to do more. And then Mike Weston approached me about doing an album, and that turned into Morning Star, which included a few tracks that I released with Lenny D. We'll be right back.
If you just tuned in, then we're checking out, this is The Mechanism with a track called Roughage. He released, we're just having a listen to a chat I had with him yesterday. I hope you're enjoying it. Amazing producer from the 1990s, released internationally. Undervalued, I think he deserves more recognition. Enjoy this, we've got another second half to the interview coming up.
What inspired me is the whole kind of do-it-yourself. You know, I remember watching as a kid, remember that New Zealand band, The Skeptics?
Yeah.
And they had this song and this music video for one of their songs. It was called AFCO. It was like this really, you know, kind of noisy. It had guitars. It was just kind of noisy, grungy. Mm-hmm. And the video was really sort of a sort of homemade type thing, the Kiwi ingenuity, do it ourselves,
get it out there
vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rough as guts, but we got the job done type thing.
Mm.
And that was kind of my feeling. Is like I was inspired by that. You know, it's not all polished like a commercial, you know, American, you know, R&B release or something like that. It was just like rough as guts, but.
Mm.
We get the job done type thing. So,
yeah. I mean, the ideas so, were. I mean, yeah. you admittedly had that support of Mike Field to kind of, I guess, in some ways structure it. I mean, the release looked good. I remember the CD release having that kind of like it had a embossed cover on it. It was.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of that style, right? I guess, you know, it had my metal influences written all over it. And there were definitely songs, like you say, they were kind of structured as songs, and maybe even not so much for the dance floor, more kind of, you know, edging towards, you know, home listening rather than kind of different turns and changes in the arrangement that didn't really suit the dance floor as much as some of the other stuff I did. But yeah, that's just what I was into at the time, right?
And
fast and loud and distorted and...
Yeah. I mean, I remember, like, so we set up those environments so that stuff could be appreciated. You know, we've got this quad sound system type style of large PAs, which was, again, on the history of, or the chronology of dance music in New Zealand, there'd been nightclubs, but the rave, you know, that Matt O'Brien and myself and a few others, we were into creating a really sort of, you know, immersive sonic experience. And so our sound systems would bring in 10 or 20K worth of sound, not just a few subs, like a lot, and then make a massive towering kind of like space that within that, and this is where, you know, your music was so impactful, especially at the Ministry, that, you know, we had you play maybe two or three, four times perhaps, I think, over a period of 3 or 4 years. And it was so impactful because it was just so dominating.
Well, I love those events. I mean, there's something about, you know, later on when I did the Micronism stuff, you know, it turned, you know, a bit more traditional kind of, you know, you could play it at a traditional club night type thing. But the kind of events that you guys were putting on and, you know, the kind of movement that we were a part of at that time, it wasn't a club, normal kind of club night. There was a lot more raw energy to it. And so the kind of formality of a normal club night went out the window. You know, it was more kind of youthful energy. It was about getting on the dance floor and getting sweaty and...
Yeah. So less kind of like focus on the social aspect and more focus on, were we here to experience a sonic experience? We're going to have here to have a sonic experience. And so that involves us dancing.
Exactly.
You know, it's going to be 6 hours of it. So let's get ready.
Yeah.
Let's go.
there's something special about this. So that's why I'm really looking forward to to being in that again.
Yeah.
At this next event.
Quick question I thought would be interesting for people to understand is, why did you move away from music? Maybe a secondary question could be, you know, what's brought you back?
Yeah, because I certainly did make a marked kind of departure. I think joining the Hare Krishna community, spiritual community, and I guess it was a world away, and is quite a world away from what I was doing back then with music. And I guess my needs at the time were more kind of in the spiritual realm. But what's brought me back, I would say, is one is that, you know, it's been decades since being in contact with the dance, I would say, underground electronic music dance culture. But regardless, I have very fond memories and still have very good connections with everyone who we were doing it with at that time.
Mm.
You guys in Christchurch, you know, there's the crew in Wellington, Hamilton crew, Auckland. And so every time I go to NZ, I always, you know, catch up with, because that was my life at that time. So I guess it's these connections with all of you guys that kind of brings me back. You know, you contact me, you ask me if I could do it. And it's like, I don't want to let you guys down. It's like, we had such great times. And the other thing is, I feel it's important, you know, that there's a loneliness epidemic and people need community. And so, you know, young people especially, they come together over music. And this is such a niche culture. And I just want to, you know, contribute back to a community that kind of fostered my youth. You know, I didn't fall through the cracks, you know, together with other people. So we need each other. And so, you know, I want to contribute back to that community.
Thank you. Well, first I'll just say thank you so much. Yeah. This is a lovely message. Wonderful to talk to you. I'm very much looking forward to seeing you in person. Mechanism, alongside 30 other DJs, cracking into it just like we did back in the day.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
thank
buddy.
You.
And that's it. That was the interview with the one and only Denver McCarthy, aka Mechanism, returning 20th of September. Ultrasonic 3, the rave revival of all time, hitting Christchurch, Sydenham Underpass. Come get your tickets at saltbox.flickr.co.nz. This should be a fantastic rinse out. Just like the old days, let's have it. Come get some.